Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is heading towards the wise man builds his house upon the rock. The rock is this teaching of mine. In getting there, he gave summaries of various topics, not the full subject, but summaries. Today we will get to a couple of verses on forgiveness, forgiving others. That will be a summary, and I'll give a little bit more of the Bible's topic elsewhere. Then we'll get a little bit more to handling money. We kind of got money worship coming in verse 19, storing up a treasury for yourselves. So summaries on forgiveness and summaries on money. There's a whole lot more elsewhere in the Bible. But first, a summary on forgiveness. In the Lord's Prayer in verse 12, there had been some unforgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So that was already in the Lord's Prayer. And then in verses 14 and 15, it's like, forgive other people their moral debts, especially if they ask. And in the end, forgive them anyway. And if they don't ask, you have to hold them accountable and talk to them about it, or else just let it go. That's why we did Love Covers a Multitude of Sins. Let's look at verses 14 and 15, Matthew chapter 6. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. Forgive, again, includes a cancellation of a moral debt. These words fit someone who is already a believer because God is their heavenly Father. We have to say this because we're not saying we earn eternal life by forgiving other people. We can imagine such a thing as a victim who has been wronged and they're an unbeliever and they let it go. That is good, but that's not how a person is saved. A person gets the judge's forgiveness by trusting in Jesus as Savior. This is talking about the Father's forgiveness. Already a person has trusted in Jesus as Savior and have been canceled the punishment before God the judge. But now it's like a father, fellowship forgiveness. If we do not have fellowship forgiveness, then we are out of fellowship with our Father. And this is warning everybody that if we have a grudge, if we have a revenge, then we might be out of fellowship with our Father. So fatherly forgiveness, judicial forgiveness is by faith alone in Christ alone, trusting Jesus as Savior. Then the judge has forgiven and canceled the penalties. But this is fatherly forgiveness. Fatherly forgiveness teaches that we have to forgive other people if they ask for it. If they ask for forgiveness, we have to cancel that moral debt. So that's the main thing it's talking about here. We must forgive other people when they ask. There is more in Matthew 18. And I thought I would do it in both sermons, Matthew 6 and Matthew 18. There's more in Matthew 18 on this. So if they ask for forgiveness, we have to forgive. Luke 17 says the same thing. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and returns 7 times a day, I repent, forgive him. So if a person asks for forgiveness, then we have to forgive. What if they don't ask? That's coming. We can drop it or we can go to them. But if they ask for forgiveness, then we have to forgive. It is the glory of a man to overlook a fault. We can just let it drop without them asking if we want to. Very often that's the best thing to do. Do not spend all of life trying to get everything fixed. I had other things to do this week. I felt that way for years. If there's something small, love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. It is the glory of a man to overlook a fault. And I haven't had any problems recently, but don't try to fix everything. Love covers most sins. Glory of a person to overlook most faults. Even if they don't ask, best just to say, that's not a big thing. I can let it go and go on with more important things in life. So love covers most sins, even if they don't ask. It's not that big a deal. Let it go. Now let's go the far other direction, because if you say sin category, it can be really bad. If it is in a crime category, then we don't let it go. If it's in a crime category, we ourselves don't take revenge, but we ourselves can go to the government. So love covers a multitude of sins, according to Peter, but Peter also said, 1 Peter 2:13 and 14, submit yourselves to the Lord and to the king, and to the governor is sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. So very often, forgive without them even need to ask. Love covers a multitude of sins, but maybe not everything. And if you go in the far other direction, talk with the police and let the courts deal with it. We've had counseling back there in the office by people that don't go here, and I don't even remember the name, but they just kind of showed up, and can I come over and talk? And when it was all done, I said, okay, here's the phone. I will call the police and I'll hand it to you. Or you can use your own phone and you can call the police, because it's not in the category of love covers a multitude of sins. Most of them, yes, overlook it. Just a lot of things. They're not that big a deal. Overlook them. Go on, go on. Glory of a man to overlook a transgression. Everything? Well, the Bible also talks about crime category. And a crime category would be the far opposite. Once in a while, it does happen. And this is in the crime category. Go talk with the police and let the courts deal with it. So love covers most things, not crimes. And the Bible does say that God ordained the government for the punishment of evildoers. And that's 1 Peter 2 and also Romans 13. We have kind of in the middle. It's not a crime, but isn't that little thing either? You know, let your wrath go down upon the Son, you know. But it didn't. It's kind of in the middle category. Not a crime to go to the police, but not something that's so small it can be overlooked. Then what? Matthew 18, which we will get to eventually, will say, go to them to talk about it. And if we go to them to talk about it and they admit, then forgive. If they do not admit, it says, take two or three others to witness that you have tried to fix it. And in the end, there's still no hatred, but in the end, you could kind of withdraw from that person. It says, treat them like a tax collector, which would be, you might be around them once in a while, but once a year, twice a year. So we have the one category, love covers a lot of things without them even asking. Just let it go. Then you have the other far category. This is in the crime category. We let the police deal with it. It's a sin, but it's a really serious sin. It's against the law. Then you have in the middle, you know, it says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Just let it over at sundown. But this is in the middle. Well, go to them in private. See if it can be worked out. If it can't be, you can withdraw from them. Can't do personal vengeance, but you can try to avoid. So there is our forgiveness subject. Most things, don't even bother with it. Just let it go. Serious things, go to the police. In the middle, go to them, try to fix it. In the end, you still forgive in the sense that you don't hold them accountable anymore. This middle category, you just can kind of avoid them if you need to. The purpose being is try to forgive as much as possible. In the end, just let everything go. And God the Father does this with our sins when we confess. After forgiveness, we have fasting. Of course, we won't spend a lot of time on fasting. We'll get to finances. But fasting is in verse 16 through 18. When you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Hypocrite actually means to put on a mask. That's what it means. Hippo underneath, kritos is mask, underneath the mask. These are like the Pharisees who did fasting but acted miserable and suffering, and they gave their money in public to get attention. They prayed in public, not so much in private, just in public to get attention. Now they're fasting to get attention. And this, he is telling them to do it in private. The original readers were under the law. In the law of Moses had fasting, especially on the Day of Atonement, which this year would have been yesterday. Supposed to confess sins and fast on the Day of Atonement. We are not under the law of Moses. We are not commanded to fast. Now, Jesus' original listeners would have been. We're not commanded to fast. It's kind of optional. We don't have to. The most fasting I remember is on 9/11. I do know people that did not eat on 9/11. They woke up, that was that, did not eat the rest of the day and prayed the whole day. Optional. But here he's saying, don't do it to get attention. Can optionally pray all day for something that's very, very serious. So we have forgiveness. In the end, let everything go. Even if you have to talk with them first, but love covers a multitude of sins. Most things just keep going in the positive direction and don't try to fix everything. Forgiveness, fasting. Now we deal with finances. And again, Jesus is giving a summary, and the finances here is mainly don't worship money. There's a lot more in the Bible on finances, and we'll review a little bit of it, but mainly don't worship money. And we will look at verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Luke 16, we'll talk about many of the listeners. Quote, the Pharisees who were lovers of money were listening to these things and scoffing. Luke 16 is a different occasion, but I imagine it's same thing that was happening here. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were kind of listening to this and laughing at Jesus, what he's saying. A balanced view is that we don't worship money. We cannot evaluate a person's spirituality by the amount they have. A poor person can be godly, Lazarus. A poor person could be ungodly. A rich person could be godly, Abraham, Job, Proverbs says that very often people that live for God get blessings. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of all your produce, so shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats overflow. So a rich person can be godly, but a rich person can be ungodly, like the Bible story of Ahab and Jezebel. They wanted Naboth's field and had lies to the courts and have his punished so he could steal the field. King Herod of the New Testament was very, very rich, and he's the one that killed the babies in Bethlehem. More must be known about a person than income to determine spirituality. But the attitude here in verses 19 through 21, the rich person loves money more than anything else. The rich person worships money. And a poor person could be the same way. They actually could worship money even though they don't have very much. 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It tends to grow. Dealing with money worship, we're not saying if a person has money that has to be wrong. We're not saying if they work hard and get a profit that's wrong. But we're saying if they love it, if it's kind of like money worship. Proverbs 23:4, do not worry yourselves out to get rich. Cease from your consideration of it. So this would be the Scrooge type mentality. We're getting towards Christmas. Where there is money, but there is money worship, until there is an attitude change. And then there is money, but good things are done with the money. But the Scrooge begins with like what's here. More and more and more and more. Live for more. Leave God out. Don't think about God at all. Don't think about doing what is right. We often call it hoarding. Money worship. Here's a short outline on other verses on money. Money is not eternal. 1 Timothy 6:7, we brought nothing into this world. We can't take anything out of this world. That's 1 Timothy 6:7, New Testament, but it was also in the Old Testament. Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, Job is saying the money is not eternal, not the most important thing. I think probably Job was written before Solomon and Ecclesiastes, but very, very similar in Ecclesiastes 5:15. He will take nothing from the fruit of his labors. Nothing is going to be eternal. Making money is okay if worship of God is first and done according to God's ways. Psalm 49 has a lot of verses on money. Even those who trust in their wealth and boast of their abundance, no one can by any means redeem his brother or give God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly. And he should cease trying. In other words, no amount of money can get salvation for self. No amount of money can buy salvation for people we care about. That comes from faith in God. More New Testament comes faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Money can't bring eternal life. Money is not eternal. 1 John 2:15 through 17, the world is passing away. Can't buy God's blessings alone, and it is not eternal. When a person worships God and money is below that, then it's all right. When a person worships God's first and does what the Bible says about it, which is kind of like give some, save some, don't do anything wrong with it. Earn it honestly. The money cannot redeem a person's soul. Quite a bit in the Bible on house worship. That's also in Psalm 49. Their inner thought is that their houses are forever, their dwelling places to all generations. This is the way of those who are foolish. Death shall be in their sleep. In other words, worshiping money is silly. You have a wardrobe and the moths get it. You have silver and it turns black. It's not taken care of. And here is a house. The house is not forever. Goes on in Psalm 49, but God will redeem his soul. He will redeem his soul from the power of Sheol, the place of death. He will receive me. Pretty direct and honest for Old Testament. The word salvation comes from God. Money is not eternal. The story of the rich fool Jesus will give in Luke chapter 12. It's a lot like here in the sense that verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's also in Luke. Two different occasions, two different audiences, actually two different sermons, but the point line gets in both of them. That where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We often say we are what we eat. Yeah, sort of. We are what we think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's in the Bible, Proverbs 23. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are kind of what we buy. We kind of are what we buy, what we spend our money on. It kind of shows priorities. Well, I didn't tell Marilyn I was going to talk about her. Every time we go to the store, we got to get kids stuff. Every time we go, we got to get Tara and Olivia and Avi things over and over. A lot of socks. They have Kellogg socks, and since we're from Battle Creek, we saw Kellogg socks. They've got to have cornflake socks and frosted flaked socks and Eggo waffle socks, and they got to wear them to school. So the other day, they raced around Olson Park without their shoes on. This was the kids doing this all the time. And she had Kellogg socks on, so... Marilyn is always thinking about buying things for the kids. Now, of course, it can be positive where your treasure is, what you spend your money on, there is your heart also, but there's all kinds of evil people thinking about evil things. What do they spend their money on? Now we can move on to verses 23 and 24. The eye of the lamp is the body, so that when your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus' listeners very often were the Pharisees, and what are they all thinking about spending their money on? What do they want? Well, it usually would show that they're evil because they wanted to do it out of arrogance. That's what's going on. And verse 24 is the main part of this section in our closing verse for this morning. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or will he be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Well, people might be able to try to go both directions, but one cannot fully go both directions. Modern translation, cannot serve God and wealth. The King James brings the Greek over into us, mammon. And that is a good translation, as long as we understand it, and I think we should. Mammon was like an idol, and that's the Greek word for the idol, mammon. The Latin word for the idol was fortuna. You cannot serve God in the idol of fortune. So it was talking about a literal idol, but it's the idol of money. the idol of fortune. No one can worship God and God's will fully and worship money. One can worship God, and God can bless a business, and a godly person can have money if God is first, and the business is done according to God's commandments. But both can't be a top priority, can't have God first and fortune. Can't worship fortune. Both can't be first. The final section, which we'll save till next time, is about worry and the problem with waiting, which I knew time-wise we had to wait. The problem with waiting is that money and worry go together. So we'll bring that up too. Living for money can be pride. Living for money can be greed. But living for money can be worry. And that's how the topics will go, living for money and then worry. No amount of accomplishments in this life will get to the point where we don't need God for safety. There's not full security in any amount. That's kind of what's being said here. They often were living for money, often worshiping for money, but sometimes it had to do with worry. And so what he's saying is, stop the worrying that God will take care of us. Fully serve God, and he will take care of our needs, and don't need to worry. We'll have the musicians.